Making love to fear. I really wanted to go a little more in depth into this conversation because I think this is something that's so important for all of us. You know, as human beings, it's programmed into our DNA to want to expand and to desire things. And we really feel stagnant and dead inside if we aren't reaching for ways to grow and really expand in our own lives, in our business, in our relationships, in every aspect of our life. So I wanted to talk about this because I hear a lot these days people talking about turning love from fear, turning fear into love. And I think there's a little bit of a miscommunication about what that means there. You know, I deal with a lot of very ambitious, very bright people. You know, maybe that's because I live in Manhattan and have for a long time, or just because of my nature, it's who is attracted to me. But these people, they don't really have the time to be turning fear into love. You know, if you think about an Olympic athlete and in that moment that they need to go, do you think that those men and women are totally without fear when they do something, or when someone's climbing Mount Everest, or when a president has to make a decision and there isn't a good or a bad decision, there's just the better of two evils about going to war? We have to assume that the higher we are in whatever we're trying to do and the more we're reaching in life, the more fear there is going to be. And so with fear in particular, you know, the more instances we're putting into ourselves where there's a lot on the line, the more fear is going to come up into our life. And fear is not a bad thing. Fear is a totally natural part of our being. It's just something that's in our consciousness and that passes through us. And if we can really learn to embrace it, and I say make love to it, which means that when it comes up, think of it as an exciting, adventurous thing to fold into, rather than something to try to push away or throw love onto, then we can really, you know, find a relationship with it that serves us. And when we work with this fear, what we start to do is slowly we expand our dominion on how much we can handle in our own lives. So I'll give you a very simple example. From my own life, a couple years ago, I remember the first time that I paid $2,000 for a business course. And at the time for me, for where my finances were and what my consciousness was, what my relationship to money was, what my relationship to my career was, that felt like an unbelievable amount of money. And there was a lot of fear surrounding it, you know, but I leapt. I made that leap and I dealt with all the stuff that came up around it. And fast forward 2 years later, now, you know, spending six times that amount of money on a business course or a business venture is no biggie because I expanded my own consciousness. I was able to work with my fear, to live with it, to embrace it, and then deal with whatever else came up as I was willing to make that leap. And that's what allowed me to expand this dominion of how much I can hold, how much I can carry, what I can put forth into the world. Have you ever seen a little kid when they've hurt themselves? Let's say they're sledding down a big hill in the middle of winter. And that first really bad fall they have, maybe they crash off of a sled or they hit a tree or they slam into another kid. You know, in that moment, every parent, every child has an opportunity for how they frame that fear with that child. Right? If we rush the child and we go, oh, my poor baby, oh my God, this is never going to happen again. And we take them away from the sledding hill and we go home and we, you know, pamper them too much, then the idea of, oh, well, if I am scared or if something bad happens, I'm going to equate that love with avoiding bad things happening, avoiding something fearful. But if we can teach that child in that moment, hey, no big deal. Oh my God, that was rad. Get back up and do it all over again. Then we instill a sense of adventure into that child's conditioning, into that child's patterning, and how they're going to approach fear and adventure in their life from there on out is forever going to be altered. And so what really happens naturally as we grow older is that we've become conditioned from taking risks. And that could have been due to our parents. It could have been due to our upbringing or schooling. It has a lot to do and most to do with just people around us telling us who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to be in the world, what is expected of us, what we're responsible for. And so we're conditioned to not take risk. You'll hear me talk a lot in my teaching about something that I call the invisible thread. And what that is, I mean, I think if you want to call it your soul's purpose or your spirit's purpose, it's like that invisible thing of your heart opening and wanting to realize itself. And when this invisible thread calls out, you know, a lot of people are taking this program. You might be taking this program because this invisible thread is what called you out. You just feel drawn to it in some way, and you know that you want to expand. And a lot of times when we're starting to deal with that invisible thread, it looks like madness from the outside. It looks like craziness. So the first time I was in India, and I had gone for what was supposed to be a 2-week trip. And somewhere in the middle of that 2 weeks, even though I wasn't particularly fond of the ashram that I was in at the time, I looked at my life and I was just about to turn 30 and I didn't have a boyfriend at home. I didn't have a job coming up. I had a 6-month visa, and something in me, what I call that invisible thread, the idea started to bubble up in me of, oh my God, what if I could stay? And I remember looking back on it now, you know, it seems like such a short period of time. And at the time, it was probably about 24 to 48 hours, which seems insignificant looking back on it. But I'm telling you, in that 24 to 48 hours, I was paralyzed with fear for those 1 or 2 days. I can't even tell you how huge the sense of fear was. And part of that was, there was my soul, my spirit, really trying to break through into authenticity, into living this new kind of life. And there was the old Margaret, who needed to be in control, who was type A, who was conditioned, and who was saying things like, whose mind was saying things like, you can't do this. This is nuts. What do you think? You know, I called my family back home. I started to tell them that I was considering doing this. And all I heard was, you're crazy. Are you out of your mind? You've joined a cult. What's happening to you? All of that. The fear that came up in me was so, so crazy strong. Even as I'm sitting here talking about it, I can exactly picture where I was and what it felt like. I'd never felt such a tremendous fear in my entire life. And yet, I knew that my freedom was on the other side of it. Now here, I'm not talking about a biological fear if a tiger is chasing you down the street. I'm talking about that fear of when we want something and an obstacle comes up in front of us. So the more that we can learn to make love to that fear, we're not trying to avoid it. We're not trying to turn it and morph it into sunshine and roses with affirmations and to turn it into love. We just need to be with it. Just authentically be with it and allow ourselves to resonate with it and see if when it comes up, we can give some room and space around it and then still choose to leap, choose to dare, choose to risk, choose to dream. Now, something that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, in fact, right now, is the idea of being confrontational with that fear and with that resistance and surrender. Because there are the big fears, like something like me staying in India forever, or if you want to leave a job or leave a lover. And those are massive things to have to confront in that moment. But sometimes what's more paralyzing are the fears that, you know, are really small or seemingly small, but really that resistance that keeps us inactive. And in that space, we really need to take the risk to leap, to push ourselves forward. And as I'm about to talk about, when we meet that edge of resistance and we see when we're grasping is when we kind of relax a little bit. But honestly, the best way that we can be our best in life is to take that risk, to dream, to leap. I have a lot of clients and friends who are really ambitious people. And so I hear this a lot with them because they also live in really high states of consciousness and they've been practicing these practices for a long time. And they say, what is that magic line of aiming for something, for taking action, for leaping, and then for knowing when to let go. So what I say with the big fears, start to learn to make love to them. As soon as you can make love to your fear, and when it comes up within you, there's no resistance to it, and you allow it to be there, I'm telling you, darling, you're going to be able to move mountains. Namaste.